This is independent librarian dynamic Sean Kennedy VI doing a pirate broadcast of episode number 732.653.663.398.36.11 in Queen's English from sometime after now. By listening to this, you should be aware that you're violating your listener's license, and you may be violating your creativity permit. This entire broadcast is being recorded on unregulated media and being broadcast back through time to you to prevent tomorrow from happening. If you're hearing this in my time, you may be subject to termination or mandatory recycling. If this broadcast should shock or disturb you, then you should listen, because you're the one who needs it most. So light your candles, and may Server protect us all. It's raining again. I've taken shelter under the brelly that the Troops for Profit gave me. All the soldiers now are long gone. I've been able to put some serious distance between me and them. Brellies, I never mentioned before, but umbrellas have changed a lot from the time that you've had them. Umbrellas used to just be these devices that kept rain off of you. They were just, you know, barely even concave. Some of them were almost flat. Umbrellas now are like these, quickly expandable domes that have longer sides. What you do out here is if you get caught, you know, that the rain's coming, you throw up the brelly and pull it down over top of your body, and usually when the sides touch the ground, you've got enough room in there to sit cross-legged if you stay hunched over. The handle comes off and you can use it to dig a small trough around the edges of the brelly where it touches down, so if water pools, it'll pool in there, keep you dry. It's best to try to hunker down with your brelly in the high ground so that you don't wind up being in an area where the runoff might get you. So the umbrella became the brelly. It's like a rapid improvised tent. It's almost... to describe it to you, when it's closed, it looks like an umbrella used to, only it's longer. It'd be like a, almost like a walking stick kind of length. The material that it's made out of is a super corrosion resistant monomer. I'm not too sure what it is, but the stuff they gave the army was super lightweight, compacts, really small, and that seems to be serving me rather well. I guess I should be happy. I guess I should be pleased that I survived the ordeal of being a router for the fleshlights. I should be happy, I guess, that I'm free, but with these new legs and this recon helmet, it's kind of hard to describe, you know. I'm a librarian. I'm guilty of the high crime of sharing information for free. I give away information. I'm not a killer. I'm not a soldier. and I look down at myself, and from my waist down, I look like a machine. The limbs that Prophet gave me at his hospital there, I can't even imagine what the value on these things would be on the street. But it would come with a price. I mean, how am I supposed to go back into the fringe towns now? I walk in there with a combat reconnaissance helmet. And these limbs, I mean, I look like a recon soldier. I'm not even really human anymore. I'm something else. It's different when I got my implants for the, well, the Beyond Line, my data implants and whatnot. I mean, those are just like jewelry compared to these things. These, I don't even know what material they are. They're some kind of titanium alloy, I guess. They're not just attached to my body. I can't take these things off. I mean, these are worked right into my spine. This reinforcement has had to be done. I mean, I can feel bruising all up and down my back. Being for reconnaissance soldiers, they've hooked it into my my digestive system so that it can, in the legs there's some kind of recycling method to filter my urine. I found that out in the first few days I was moving with them and drinking water. I wasn't as thirsty as often. Well, you can tell when you go to the bathroom by the color of your urine. I was drinking lots of water, but my urine was staying dark because it was just being refiltered and pumped back into my body through these legs. And I should be happy about that. I can survive out here in the deep wastelands with less water. I don't have to worry about it. But it's different. I mean, I look down and I'm not me anymore. I'm looking down and I see these horrible limbs, like, they look like dog's legs. They look like I'm some werewolf from an old movie. All with matte finished metal. Even when I move now, I'm starting to get used to taking steps and walking. Getting used to feeling with these cold alloy. And it's not that I don't know how to use them. It's just that I'm adapting to using them very quickly. Almost too quickly. It's like when I put these, when they put these legs on me, it took away part of my humanity somehow. Humans can't run, you know, 45 miles an hour. They can't jump 30 feet straight into the air and land again. They can't leap 60 feet or leap even 90 feet when they run. But I can. I was traveling to the wastelands. I found a down plane. There was nothing in it. It was picked over long ago. It looked to be some kind of a passenger liner aircraft. The hull like some burned out husk in the desert. Before, it would take me 15 or 20 minutes to climb up onto the roof of the hull. I just stood there and jumped up onto the roof. It was like nothing. I mean, sure, at first I was excited, you know? I mean, I could, look how fast I could move through this stuff. I can get through all the tight spaces that I could never get before. I can climb better, I could run stronger, but Now that I think about it, I mean, I don't even move like a human anymore. I mean, my back is almost perpetually hunched. I feel inhuman. I feel stronger. They say there's a condition known as mechanical remorse, where you, whenever you get significant cybernetics installed, you feel post-operation depression, where you miss whatever it was you replaced. It's standard with anyone who, if you have an accident, you lose a limb. Well, no, obviously you're going to be upset that you lost the limb, but if you replace the limb, you still have that feeling. Even if you replaced it with a biological limb, you still feel this separation. I mean, I got new legs, so I'm still me, right? Like, even if I had no arms and no legs, I'd still be me. Even though I can run faster than I ever could, and harder than I ever could, and don't get as tired as fast. Took me a couple days to get used to just all the things that are in the legs. I found a jack for diagnostics, which, well, my recon helmet hooks into if I need to take a look at how the operations are going. And there's a compartment on the left leg and the thigh, which opens up, and there's a very, very compact case for tools used to make repairs to the legs, cable adjustments, things like that. I'm sure if I got stuffed in a burn booth right now, somebody would definitely make their month's wages just from these legs alone. Materials these things are made of, I couldn't even guess. They're probably still top secret. The real, the real thing that just was the cherry on the sundae, so to speak, was in my right leg. There's a compartment which, if I flex the right way, there's a handgun in here. It just opens up and there's a gun in a holster, tactical holster, like any soldier would have. There's extra bullets strapped in along the holster and magazines, and the gun's loaded, one in the pipe. I found it, and I didn't even take it out. I just tried to flex my leg again to make it go away. I used to like guns, but I'm not so much for guns anymore. When you get found with a gun out here, you're hunted for sure. But I mean, I may as well have the mark of Cain on me, these legs. How am I supposed to even get near populace again? How am I supposed to deal with people again? This recon helmet I'm broadcasting you from is, well, to describe it to you, it's tight fitting to my head. Very, very, like my old rappelling helmet used to be, maybe a little bit thinner. And the goggles are, you can't see through them. There's a polarized shield that goes across the front. I can't tell it's there from my side, but apparently it's there on the outside. As I look through it, you can't see in. There's no reflection, but it's just this dull gray shifting shimmer, like dead television static, I guess. The helmet's got every kind of possible feature you could ever think of in it. And I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to use it. Luckily, it even has, a user's manual, which the goggles themselves are like a heads-up display. It displays information. It augments my reality. It's an augmentation system so that it outlines everything I see. If I I query with my eyes. It tracks the position of where my eyes are and what my pupils are looking at. And then it'll has a friend or foe recognition database. When I came across that airliner, it freaked me out because it all of a sudden started rattling off all these details about this jet and outlined it. Started targeting where all the wreckage was. It was all of a sudden highlighted in my vision when I looked through these goggles so I could see it. Sounds really, you know, like a useful thing, but it's kind of scary when you forget about it. But all of a sudden it just happens. This doesn't have the canary vents that I used to have. It's got a complete filtration system and sensors for everything from radiation to nerve agents to tetrotoxins to bioweapons. Who knows? I only made it through the preliminary stages of what this helmet can do. I can turn up the volume on my hearing when I wear it so that at a distance I can omnidirectionally pick up anything within almost a half mile if I turn it way up. Or I can, again, using my pupils, focus on a point. And it works like a directional mic to bring me in on whatever sound I want to hear. I heard the scuttling of a scorpion across stone, a half a mile away. I could see him with the telescopic windows that opens on the HUD. And with the old military GPS satellites still cranking out signal, I could even give you a fantastic grid reference on exactly where that scorpion moved from to. When I looked away, the helmet allowed me to track what that scorpion did. How he tried to escape the sun. I had a few other gifts given to me when I was on that slab by Prophet. I don't know whether if I should thank him or hate him. It's not his fault. I mean, he just was doing what any soldier would want done. He was trying to make me more survivable, I guess. He was trying to make me better, stronger, faster, but throughout all of this, I don't even know who I am anymore. I know I have to keep broadcasting, but the only things that I was good at, I've now got all these skills now that I never had before. Like, I don't know how to track things, but I do now. I know how to identify multiple weapons. I came across 7 burned out cars. I can tell you the years each one was made and what company made it. I mean, if I checked the database that this helmet has, I could probably even tell you what colors they most likely came in. These helmets were fairly new. This is the kind of equipment that they give to troopers who they drop in deep behind enemy lines and let them just gather knowledge. Which I suppose is the same thing I do. I mean, I amass knowledge, I gather knowledge, and I share it, but it's different somehow. It's like, with this helmet, I take it by force, and I'm not reading a book, I'm interrogating everything I look at. That's so easy, you know. I just focus on it, and there it is. The other big present, I guess, was I've had an enzyme treatment on my guts. I can eat scrap and survive. I can also eat dead flesh. I can also eat bugs. I ate that scorpion. couldn't figure out how to turn the tracking off, so I wound up walking over to him, and that's when the hunger hit me and I realized, oh my gosh, I'm viewing this animal as food. I popped off his tail, crunched him up in my mouth. It even tasted good. Humans don't eat scorpions raw. That's not something that humans do, but it's something that I do. The helmet underneath the underneath the visor really has no contours or shapes to it. It's just smooth, featureless, infinitely comfortable. It senses the muscle movement of my mouth, and if I'm going to eat, it retracts the front piece into itself somehow, and I'm able to shove food in my mouth. I imagine it wouldn't open if there was toxins in the area, preventing me to poisoning myself. So, I mean, who's making decisions there? Am I running the helmet, or is the helmet running me? I haven't gotten the helmet or the legs wet, but I have a feeling that the rain wouldn't affect it much. The black acid rain that I was so afraid of before doesn't really seem to bother me now as I squat here between my steel limbs. I don't even sit human anymore. I mean, look at me. As I sit here, my knees are up on one of my knees. I mean, I've got two knees now, don't I? Up beside my ears almost as I squat low. People don't sit like that. They gave me some other equipment too. I should go over that with you so you know what I've got now. Probably the one thing that'll enable me to walk around when I do get back to the fringes, provided people don't get too close, is this this Spivlar armor coat. It's like a long coat that comes down just, well, about 8 inches from the ground, and weighs a lot. Weighs almost 25 pounds, but the whole coat is armor. I've heard of these things. It's heavy weave made from spider silk. Could probably almost get shot with a tank wearing this coat and it wouldn't puncture. There's a hood on it which comes over and hides my helmet from view. And for a fact, the coats came with a microweave scarf that you could wrap around your face to breathe. But, I mean, I don't need to worry about filtration, but the scarf would act as that. Runs up along where the collar was, so I guess it doesn't totally look unlike a Roman Catholic priest robe with a huge hood on it. The color of the coat changes as the light shifts. It's always a gray, dirty sandy gray, very neutral colors. I notice if I'm on rock, it shifts to the color of the rock slightly, or if I'm in burned out wreckage of steel, it kind of takes on that appearance as well. I have no idea how it works. Probably all run with nanotechnology. I mean, I understand that this coat's worth more than all the other gear I had. I mean, not even all my books would buy me this coat. And here I am now with limbs that there are enforcers who work for gangs who would kill their own families to get a set of legs like these. And here I am with this coat, these legs, Hell, this military brelly I got is state of the art. I still got a chest rig. And my old one that had the armor built in, I don't need anymore. Well, it's gone anyway, but the armor of the coat keeps everything under it protected. I've got enough pockets on this chest rig that I can keep whatever I need on it. Opens on the sides. I think it's Spivlar as well, so it also acts as armor. This is the kind of equipment that you'd see high-end corpse cops wearing, not a librarian, not a wasteland librarian. I'm gonna get nailed for a case of mistaken identity, I know it. The helmet has built-in shooters. Jack into the base of your skull if it detects a toxin in your bloodstream through its dermal sensors. I got extra shooters in my vest in case I run across an area, atropine, some adrenaline, and some stuff I've never heard of. It's enough to keep me alive. In another pocket, I found a Zippo. I don't even have to carry as much equipment as I used to. I mean, the gear I have is everything that was me, I don't need anymore. This helmet even has a cracking utility on it. I can just plug into any interface I want through the helmet and brute force my way into crypto locks or data files, whatever. I mean, that's all stuff that reconnaissance troopers need. Yeah. Prophet really did a number on me. But still, part of me wants to just cut through this umbrella and let the rain wash the rest of the humanity away from me. I'll leave all this steel lying here in the desert. I don't even need my tablet anymore. It's all put through the goggles. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still need some kit. I still need the equipment to survive out here. I still need my corpse gloves and I got a blade in the bag. I got a bunch of stuff like that. I half expected, to be honest, I half expected when I reinstalled all my data, when I ghosted it back in, I expected my verification not to work. Ghosting is the way I communicate with you is a double blind system. There's someone who I don't know gave me an encrypted frequency and target IP that I broadcast to. I don't know where it is. I don't know anything about it. All I know is that when I broadcast, I do all my presets. And part of the presets is a DNA retinal standard biolock scanning to confirm it's really me and I'm alive and all that. And that's one of the ways I keep track of my data, is because I have all the information ready to go and I just log in and transfer the files like a backup. It's kind of commonly believed that what you know and what you are the same thing. Everything you read, see, and hear is makes up part of who you are. Makes up what you are. This massive database of information, this knowledge is known as your ghost. Yeah, common slang term for it. So when I called up to ghost all my info, I don't know, I just had this feeling like I wouldn't get authentication, like I wasn't the same person anymore. It's probably not what you wanted to hear, is it? Being in that flash site probably did some damage. Mind's a very fragile thing, you know. People don't really understand how fragile the brain truly is. I mean, all you need is the right amount of pressure in the right way, and crack. That's it, you're gone. And the you that everyone knows is someone else with your face. I think that there's something to be said for soldiers, how they operate. I ought to be grateful. Look at all this equipment I have, but I'm still not me. I still feel like I left me somewhere. Maybe I'd feel the same way if they hadn't taken my legs. Maybe this is all just residual from being in the rack. When I've caught myself asking myself questions that I never really asked before, you know? Like, what's the point? I mean, you know, the world's coming now. I mean, I've done my part. I've warned you about the future. So who am I broadcasting for? Am I broadcasting for you? Or am I broadcasting for me? Or is this just like some strange zombie habit that I don't know how to break? I have to keep broadcasting, I know that. But I don't know where. I think what I'm going to do, to be honest, I think I'm going to start heading towards some answers. I can work on who I am and what I am on the way, but I better start looking for some answers. There's a saying that suffering begets wisdom. So I must find someone who's suffered more than I have to gain some of their wisdom. There's a city, a rebel city out here. They call it the Lost City. The City of New Rome. It's not acknowledged by any of the megas. You hear fringers talk about it. Everyone knows it exists and is out here, but how many people go to it? Or those who do are usually the people who stay there. They don't come back. The Caesar that runs it, he's an interesting guy. But in the city, there's a dread man there. And I think he could get some answers for me. I think he's the one who I should talk to. Help me straighten this stuff out. Dreadmen, like this helmet, they have augmented reality. There's two kinds of there's virtual reality, which is the synthetic world, like eyes, you completely computer rendered. But like this heads up display, there's another system that was created called augmented reality. And it was enabled you to overlay like a friend or foe system, exactly like this helmet. So in essence, I'm walking around with augmented reality. The difference between me and a Dread Man is the Dread Man was a failed project. Some people didn't believe they even existed, but I know they do. What they did was, when they found out that the Dread Man existed, when they found out about this augmented reality and how it worked, you didn't need to have a screen, you see, because it overlaid into, you know, your vision. So what they did was they created an implant in the visual center of the mind, so that it, instead of looking through glass like I do, it just augments your reality real time, so you actually have friend or foe recognition systems in your mind, that so your brain actually creates highlights and things like that on its own. It's different for everyone. And once they started looking at sensor arrays that they could use, somebody got the bright idea to put in a scanner as well, so that you'd have this, be able to do everything that this recon helmet can do, only you do it inside someone's mind as an implant rather than a piece of armor. So they did a few tests, and no one officially even admitted that tests were done, but they did a few tests. The problems was, you see, is that the subjects were all going insane. They all spun off into madness. You see, when you put in the scanner and alter people to change their perception, they began to see things that weren't there yet. They were like things that you wouldn't see normally, like a radio wave suddenly had shape, and it would become awesome. Some people say the Dread Men would see fog that would sing to them, and sometimes there's little creatures that would be running around on the floor that weren't there, and the creatures would talk to them, and latent transmissions and ham radio signals, and it was just more than the mind could take. And like I said, the mind's a pretty fragile thing. And they snapped. The ones that didn't snap, the ones who suffered, and maybe they snapped and went insane and just came back on the other side, they are part of something else. They're not really people anymore. They can see things that we can't. They pick up frequencies and the natural hum of the earth. I mean, they everything is visible to these people because of the implants they've had in their head. So they were like, all manner of emotions were associated with these people. They were feared, revered, worshipped, hunted. Now only a few exist. I've only heard of them, I've never met them. But apparently, in New Rome, there's one. I think that's what I'm going to do. I think you'd be able to give me some answers about what's going on and what I need to do. I mean, I still feel sort of human. I feel alive. But as my body has changed, as my mind has changed, I've changed. And I don't know if I've finished changing yet. Maybe I should keep changing and just see where this takes me. But for now, now, you still got me. This is still independent librarian dynamic, Sean Kennedy the Sixth. I'm still the Sixth. Maybe this counts as life extension, I don't know. Well, whoever I am, I'm doing a pirate broadcast of episode number 732.653.663.398.36.11. It's a broadcast in Queen's English from sometime after now. I hope you're never in my position. I hope you never have to wonder how much of you lose before you stop being you. I hope you never have to consider at what point do you stop being human and start being a product. I'm a human being. I'm not a machine. And as a human, I have more undefinable features and benefits than any statistical, mechanical thing. But somehow I think I'm losing me. I hope someone out there, I hope maybe the Dread Man of New Rome might. I hope someone can please help me.